Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Big guy, how are we doing today, man?
A little cold.
Missed you. Yeah,
a little
yeah.
Cold.
So the big guy's back in Wisconsin. First thing that both Josh and I noticed, you got some fashionable sweatpants, my friend.
I did.
I mean, what would you just kind of tannish? Is there a different
word? I call them nude.
Are they nude? Because you'd rather be nude.
yeah, the days of wearing shorts when it's cold out, as Mike Sherman would say. Over.
Why is it over for you?
Because I'm old. The blood thins out.
Say circulation not as good.
Never was great.
You toughed it out anyway.
You turn heat up in here. 70 feels like about 58.
I wish we had control over. Despite having the thermostat that has up and down arrows on both of them, I really wish we had, you know, control over that.
Yeah.
We do not. Those up and down arrows are for, what, display only?
If there's any commercial HVAC people out there, do you guys put those up to just trick us? Make us think we've got... Because I feel like I've been in so many places, be it professionally, even back in school. None of those ever work.
No.
They do say the temperature.
Sure.
It seems to be a thermometer that is also posing as something that can affect the temperature, but it never does.
It is not.
I think we need one of those fake fireplaces.
Put it in the corner.
Put it
over
in
here.
Corner.
Wait, you want me to get on one of the TVs? You want me to pull up like
actually,
the YouTube?
Yeah.
Like, do you want that on one of the TVs? Just tell me which TV you want it on. I'll get it up for you.
Because I used to be, you know, over the winter, set the house at 70. Fine. We're at 73 now. I had the heat on.
Wait, does your wife?
I had the heat on in Florida because it was 58 out, and I was freezing.
Wait, so you've become the Seinfelds in Seinfeld?
You
move down to Florida, pretend it's not hot.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, you're going to be running for condo board president.
Hot chocolate and electric blanket when it's 75 out. Yeah. Oh, I'm soft now. Totally soft. Yeah.
Like you just look cold right now.
I know. And I got to cut the grass today.
Is there going to be a window? It's raining right now.
Can't play scared, Gabe. I may be soft, but I don't play scared.
What do you mean you got to cut the grass today?
Grass
growing season's over, man.
It's just long. And it doesn't
long.
Look, the striping's not there. I got to primp it up. Because I got Thanksgiving. Things got to look nice.
You're hosting. Oh, yeah, that's right. You are hosting. You had mentioned that you were coming back.
Christmas lights. Unbelievable. Already up? They've been up for like 3 weeks.
Are they up and on?
They're on.
Okay.
Even Florida,
Florida, I mean, I guess you can kind of do it whenever in Florida.
Yeah.
The fact, and this has been the last handful of years now, where it's nice enough early in November. Like, you never know when it's going to turn, and there were places up here, too. Was that last week, Josh? That got dumped down with snow? Yeah, that was like
really?
Last month.
Just south of us, yes.
Like Kenosha?
Like 13 inches in some places.
Kenosha, yeah. Like, Kenosha Racine area? Yeah, got over a foot.
Come on. Did it really?
Over a foot. So, I understand putting up your Christmas decorations in early November. Because you might have like a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever. Hey, it's nice. Let's get this done so we don't have to be out here when it's freezing cold. And it's been nice enough, right? At least for our standards up here to kind of take care of that.
Yeah.
Putting them on, you know, I guess some people love celebrating Christmas.
Do you put them
as soon as
being a new homeowner?
No.
Okay.
We don't have any exterior
illumination.
Christmas. We do not have any exterior. The only thing we've ever decorated for now, and this is the second holiday season that we have been in our house, My wife puts up some ghosts, and she has some rope lights that she has on our porch, our front porch, just in general.
Yeah.
Just regular ones that she likes having out there because it kind of illuminates the porch during the summertime, kind of go out there, sit, hang out. But she puts up some ghosts for Halloween. That's about it.
Okay. Yeah, some people, like one of my brothers, bigger decorator for Halloween than Christmas.
Yeah.
But the easy one for Christmas, if you don't want to deal with it, just put the candles in the window. Very simple.
Oh, candles in the window, yeah. Wreath on the front door.
You're good.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
Matthew just texted us on the Carbless Talk and Text Line show, just so you know. As a principal in Kenosha last week, we had a snow day on Monday.
That's awesome. It is so. I could go for a little snow as long as I'm leaving like the next day.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like at this point, you don't want to be as a former snow removal guy.
Yes.
You don't want to be responsible for that anymore.
No. I'm out. A lot of salt. Just throw a bunch of salt down. Take care of it.
Do you have somebody that comes by? And
yeah, we do. Yeah, I put the plow sticks out yesterday. Kind of forgot.
It's not the blammer, is it?
He's backup. Yeah.
I mean,
when you let the blammer do it.
I mean, the blammer has a backup. Let's just put it this way. He ain't no Malik Willis. I don't know who the comparable backup would be.
No, what the blammer is he's throwing four touchdowns, but he's throwing seven picks.
Oh, so he's Jameis.
He's Jameis, basically, because what that means translated over to snow removal,
yeah.
He's ripping your grass up. So you're working in the spring replace hunks of sod.
You might be replacing a mailbox post.
Oh, yeah.
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 Hey, you've done that. You've taken out your mailbox post.
And the neighbors. Yeah. I've done that. Wasn't my fault, though.
Yeah, of course. Never would have been.
So
now, because my wife is obsessed with mail for whatever reason. Just absolutely.
Is this what happens as you get older?
With mail. I don't know. Like anytime we're gone, because I was telling the story last night on Blammer Holds It Hostage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Blammer gets on Wednesday and Saturday. So if we come home on like a Friday, have to stop and get the mail. I'm fine with leaving the mail in the box for 4 or 5 days. Doesn't bother me. She has to stop every single time. But you know what we don't do anymore? If I'm driving, stop. I can never gauge the mirrors on the right side when you're pulling up so she can just roll down the window and
grab
the mail.
What are you getting in the mail?
I have no idea.
I'm with Chewy that there's nothing that I'm getting.
My mail,
I feel I need to grab immediately.
My mail comes through the door slot, and the dog oftentimes ends up grabbing it and bringing it to us, and it's almost exclusively junk mail.
Yes.
Is it generational? Because, I mean, we've talked about it before. I've lived a rather nomadic life, so my address changes all the time, and I basically don't get anything useful via the mail. And anything that is useful, be it like health insurance-related stuff, I just send it to my parents. Because I know for sure it's going to get there. We're able to guarantee it doesn't end up. Are you guys like getting bills?
No, I think it's more like registration to cars and stuff that involves the business.
Sure, but like the car registration, you get an email for. Like I just got, so mine expires, my plates currently expire at the end of January.
Yeah.
A week ago, I got an email. Hey, this is expiring soon. Here's a link where you can just go.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know what I'm not allowed to do anymore? So if I do get the mail,
can't open it.
No, I'm not allowed to throw anything away.
What about ads?
No. You know the coupon paper.
You get the Costco little flyer.
Have to bring it inside.
What?
Well, because I threw my TSA thing away one time, and that
that's an important detail that you should share.
Problem. Well, of course,
giant problems.
Well, like of course, like
so. Wait, hold on. You remember we talked about that TSA thing and them never getting back to you? It turns out you just threw it away.
Allegedly.
The important part here, Josh, is it can't be proven. Yeah. It's all allegations right now.
Allegedly.
Because we talked about that multiple times. We're like, wow, that's strange. People usually get back to you much quicker.
It all stems from this simple mistake that was not my fault. All right.
Once rarely again. Is. Rarely
so we got is. A dumpster when we were tearing down the lake house.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to throw things away when
the
she's
opportunity,
not around.
Yeah, the opportunity presents itself.
So I didn't time up with them removing the dumpster, throwing stuff away from the garage.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you tell an individual, hey, look, I have a bag with cash in it? Wouldn't you tell someone that? So I threw it away.
Whoa. Hold on. You just had a bag of cash? Like, so wait, you're just throwing things away? You're not even looking at things that you're throwing away?
I don't think anyone looks at things. You know?
If I'm about to throw something in a dumpster, if I'm about to throw something in my garbage can, like I'm going to take a look at it to make sure.
What if you have a box that you had, you know, it's turkey season, the big pot that you boil the turkey in,
yeah,
and you keep the box.
Uh-huh.
Why would you look inside that? Why wouldn't you just throw it in the dumpster? How am I supposed to know that there's a bag of cash in there? And thank God she went dumpster diving the next day and found it. I mean, would you look in there? I would say most people would not
look
in there.
But you would think that was you. So you were under the impression that the box was empty?
Yes. Why wouldn't I?
But didn't it feel like there could have been something in there?
Yeah.
Because
styrofoam,
you have
cardboard
over the course of your life.
You're not breaking down boxes either?
No, not in the dumpster.
You always break down boxes. Save space.
It's overrated.
I guess if you got a dumpster.
Let me ask you this. I'll give you another one. You buy a new TV. Why are you holding on to the box?
Oh, no. The box is gone.
Yeah.
Well, she thinks you just hold on to the box in case the TV breaks down under warranty.
You can keep all that information.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, if the TV breaks down, you don't want to put it back in the box and give it to them.
Was that my fault, though?
I mean,
I don't think it was my
cash
fault.
For sure.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't want to put your business in the street, and I don't want to ask how much cash it was. But I'm guessing it wasn't just $100 bill.
No, it was.
I'm guessing that there had to have been money weighs things. Like it's not just super light. Like if you say a bag of cash, like to me that has a significant amount of weight to it that you should have been able to detect.
The packaging comes in the styrofoam. It comes with the cardboard that the thing is wrapped in. So there's weight in there.
If you wouldn't have been shortcutting and breaking down boxes,
can you
like
pull
you're...
this? And I guarantee people will say that's not.
I don't
that's
even
not
know,
on me.
I don't know what the pull question is. I don't even know how to break this down in your favor.
I think most people would be like, "That is not on me. That's on her." Right?
I don't agree.
Stop being so afraid of her. She's not going to show up here at 7:45.
Well, I'm not being afraid. I'm thinking of just you taking something and throwing it away without even taking a peek inside of it. That doesn't happen to me.
I think most people would do that if there was a TV box or some kind of holding on to the box.
I would like to think that if, because again, like,
I have a
I am trying to avoid putting your business and how much money you allegedly threw away out there. I'm guessing it was a significant amount. I'm also not saying it's such an amount that like there's nothing moving in the box, right? Like if I pick up a box and I'm going to throw it away and I feel something moving in there, I don't think that's just the styrofoam.
Not if you've been throwing stuff away for an hour. You would forget it. And by the way,
how much do you have in your garage?
There was a lot in there.
Why was money there?
I don't know. It just was.
Now here's an important question.
Yeah.
Was it previously mentioned to you that there was cash in something and not to throw away?
Not
okay.
At all.
Now
not
I'm
at
a little bit back on your side.
Yeah, not at all. Nope. Had no idea.
Because to me, I thought you were probably told and then said, oh, I forgot.
No, not at all. Not at all. While we're on the subject, too, of frying turkeys, that got ixnayed.
Uh-oh.
You leave the giblets in the bag of gravy, whatever, in the turkey one time and you deep fry it because I didn't know that stuff was in there, and you get ixnayed.
You don't even get a chance to go, hey, I've learned my lesson.
No redemption story?
Nothing.
Man.
That's tough.
Because all I said is, you want me deep fried? Nope. Nope.
She wasn't interested in a deep fried plastic bag.
I ate it.
Of course you did. We knew that.
You got points to prove.
See, the problem is this.
Here's
the problem. If that happened, let's say you and I was with you, that's going to my grave.
Yeah.
She goes inside and tells everyone.
Oh, I'm snitching on you for sure.
Are you eating it, though, or no?
I probably would.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, again, you fished. You and I together, we'd have fished it out of there. We'd have figured it out. We went to Toll the Soul. That would have been something that you and I had between us forever.
Oh, I would have snitched, and I'd have been laughing.
After the fact, though, right?
Yeah.
No one ate it, and it was delicious.
You find anything in your turkey, maybe plastic bag remnants? How much was left of the bag once you realized what you had done?
Oh, it was fried.
You're deep frying it for a significant amount of time. Like,
yeah,
it's
not like in there too.
It's not like a splash in, splash out.
Plastic melts.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Who knew? James the Postman wants to say, "Hey guys, it's bulk mail. It is not junk mail." He wants the record to be set straight. And he also wants us to do him a solid, send a little message. Change all your bills back from paperless to being mailed. That would be great. Wants to save
James
the postman.
James trying to ensure his job.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. So, shout out to James the Postman. We've got to get to Jason Wilde. Dive into this pack. He had some really good interactions with Matt LaFleur during his press conference yesterday. So we talked to Jason Wilde. Get back to the green and gold as we continue on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Gabe.
Oh boy, what'd Gabe do?
What I do now?
I mean, I don't know if you have some sort of one of those voodoo dolls that's wearing a number 8 jersey or what, but I don't know. Last week's conversation.
Oh, jinxy.
Suggesting. Well, I'd really like to see what this offense does about Josh Jacobs.
Jordan Love looked pretty good after he went out, Jason. I'm just saying that he looked pretty good after Josh went out. They went a little under center more. They actually ran that boot play that I like, and he didn't throw it to the tight end. He ended up throwing it to Romeo, picked up like 10, 15 yards. It looked a little more, to use Chewy's words, it looked a little more flowy outside of the drops.
Yeah, okay, well, I just want to state publicly for the record that I want to make sure that on Wilde and Tausch, you being the national radio host that you are, never will say, boy, I think this show would be better with Jesse as the host.
Jason, could Malik Willis be a crappy starter like so many back-end NFL teams in this league?
For sure, he could be, right? Like, look, and you know this, Tausch knows this, Gary Ellerson knows this, Bet. Brad Nortman knows this. You guys, y'all play in the league. You know what this, where you go and who you play for and what their system is, all that stuff matters,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I look at Tennessee and, I obviously, having some familial connections to Oregon, like, Marcus Mariota is someone that I've always followed, right? I mean, I have a picture of the girls when they were like 3 and 4 standing in front of his locker in the Ducks locker room. I mean, he goes to Tennessee, and there's a story about the offensive coordinator there at the time, who basically there was no real system. It was just sort of like throw him out there and make something happen, which is preposterous mm-hmm. in the NFL. But you know, he ends up being a journeyman player, right? I mean, he's obviously been starting now for Washington because of Jaden Daniels' injury. But, like, if he goes somewhere else, maybe even he goes and they don't follow the Rodgers and Love plan because most places don't – I always hate this because most places don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback in place so you can sit a guy for 3 years. But if he goes to a different situation, Mariota potentially has a completely different career.
Mm-hmm.
And then, lo and behold, I mean, look at what has happened at Tennessee with quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's him – it's Willis. It's Will Levis. Like,
oh, yeah.
What are the chances that Cam Ward is going to succeed? Basically, if they hire someone, right? If they hire whoever the Ben Johnson is of the next hiring cycle, or maybe if some Packers fans get their wish, maybe Matt LaFleur will be available for the Tennessee Titans, right? So I just think that matters so much. And I look at Malik Willis, who is such a like he's got some really good qualities, right? I mean, his running ability. He was at, people forget. Oh, he went to Liberty, and people were talking about him as a first round pick back then. Well, he started out at Auburn, and he transferred mm-hmm. out of there. Like he has ability, and you see him throw passes and think, okay, this guy's not just a running quarterback. Like, but he was just in such a bad situation there, and so if he were to move on after this season as he's a free agent and a team signs him to be their starter, which I don't necessarily think is going to happen. But if it were to happen, like if he gets the right situation, I think he could be pretty darn good. He could be a very serviceable starter, but like all the stuff there was stuff said about him, like he couldn't process a playbook and like it's just crap.
It just
because it's so dependent on that.
It just goes
his
to show
teammate,
you.
Yeah, his teammate straight up, Taylor Lewan, like, and then apologized last year after the good stuff he had. But Taylor Lewan, part of Bussin' with the Boys, said, yeah, this guy just doesn't know football.
But it just shows you what good coaches can do with players.
Correct.
You know, because look at Holmgren back, you know, Holmgren, Mark Brunell, Aaron Brooks, Ty Detmer, Doug Peterson. You know, these guys all went on.
Matt
and they
Hasselbeck.
Weren't great.
Matt Hasselbeck.
I was about to say, I knew you were missing one.
Like, look at Detroit, Jason.
Actually, I'm embarrassed we went to Aaron Brooks before Matt Hasselbeck. I want to apologize to Matt Hasselbeck for that before.
But look at the difference in Detroit without Ben Johnson. You know what I mean? It's just...
Uh-huh.
And I don't think people understand it. There's a lot of crappy coaches in this league.
So, do you think, Jason, that the Packers would spend to have Malik Willis be the backup? Because if they're... Whether or not he sticks around, I think they have to give him a raise in order to keep him in free agency, correct?
No doubt. Yep, no doubt. Yep.
And, would they? I think that's a worthwhile insurance policy because as we've seen, I mean, Jordan got hurt last year. Even when he missed a couple of plays, like, I'm not saying that Jordan's injury are prone by any stretch of the imagination, but you're playing 17, potentially 18 games soon. It's hard to stay healthy for all of those games, regardless of the position you play. Having a solid backup quarterback that can do what he did last year and go out and win you a game or two, I think there's value in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, what we have talked about spoiled, right? I mean, not only were Favre and Rodgers all-time great quarterbacks, they are also... I mean, my God, Rodgers is trying to convince the Steelers to let him play with a broken left wrist, right?
Why do I have a feeling he's going to succeed?
I do, too. No, I don't have any question. Favre played those... I mean, again, I love to bring this up, but Favre played two different seasons with a broken thumb on his throwing hand. He was, you know, the greatest Iron Man and tough guy ever. Rodgers plays one with a broken thumb in 2022. Oh, he sucked that year. But those guys are legit throwbacks. Like I think Rodgers would tell you if he had some truth serum or ayahuasca, he would say it on the record that he followed Favre, and he felt an incredible pressure to play through everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he tried very hard to get back. Like, in the true story of 2013 was that he convinced Doc McKenzie to let him play before Doc McKenzie wanted him to play in that Bears game. I let's not forget that. And so my point is that because of what those guys were able to do, both as Hall of Fame players and throwback Iron Man tough guys, like, we forget how frequently really good quarterbacks miss a game or two. And it pains, I've made this joke before, but I like it so much I'm going to recycle it. It pains me to say that the Packers should follow the Chicago Bears lead, but what they did with Badgett is really smart. And I don't think that's been said very often about their personnel moves, but it's true. And so if Malik, now I talked to Malik in the, I think it was at the end of training camp, because I wrote a story about how if things go according to plan, we won't see Malik Willis again until, unless it's in mop-up duty of a 38-10 blowout. But instead, it ended up being those seven plays Sunday, and he again rose to the occasion. But I talked to him about it, and I think he's a prideful guy. Like, he wants to go show that he can be more than just a backup in the NFL. And I who could possibly begrudge him for that desire, right? So I don't know if it'll come to that. I don't know if he'll have that opportunity. I don't know how other people around the league view him. But it all goes back to what Chewy said. Like, if he were to sign somewhere and he gets a really smart offensive coach who's going to be innovative, who's going to put him in position to succeed, who's going to recognize, okay, these are the things he throws well, these are the things he doesn't, so we shouldn't do that kind of stuff, and we're going to give him smart opportunities to run, I think he could be a successful, solid NFL starting quarterback, yes.
Jason, what did this win tell you, if anything?
Look, I'm a big believer in adversity and the value in that. Like, yes, would it have been great if they'd have blown him out 38-10? And quite frankly, would they have if they could catch an interception or two and catch a pass or two that they didn't catch? But what it told me is that they are still a flawed football team, flawed offensively, without Tucker Kraft. I mean, Luke Musgrave played the least number of snaps of the three tight ends they have left. Josh Whyle played one more snap than he did.
Hmm.
And LaFleur gets up there, you know, yesterday, I was going to write about this today, and goes up there and says, you know, hey, we, you know, it's already been addressed with the coaching staff. You know, we got to play Luke Musgrave more. And because I'm not a jerk, I didn't say the follow-up question, which was, why? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and look, Luke's a good kid. I have nothing against him. But, like, if you're not adept at blocking and you're a pass-catching tight end and you drop two passes, why am I putting you on the field, right? And I know that's I sound like a complete jerk saying that. And I should give him the same, well, maybe not the same, but a similar benefit of the doubt to Bo Melton, who should have caught that fourth down pass without any question a couple weeks ago. But Luke Musgrave, they have to, if you're going to say, well, I've already addressed it with my coaching staff, he needs to play more, then it's also incumbent on Luke Musgrave to play better. And I don't think that's harsh criticism. He has got to be better because they are counting on him to elevate his game. And being just a guy, then they might as well put Fitzpatrick and Wile E. Coyote out there. Because if he's not going to catch the football, you know, I'm sorry, it's a harsh league, and if LaFleur wants him back, I mean, look, we've seen examples, including the 4th-and-1 play in the fourth quarter against the Eagles, like blocking, he continues to struggle with that, right? I mean, he just does. So I think that's one of the lessons. And then the whole, you know, Gabe, Josh Jacobs thing, like I really, that has gained some steam with some other personalities on our programming, Josh, and a few others.
Sir?
So I'm still not sure I'm on board with that, but I'm very curious to see what things look like moving forward.
I do want comment because I've listened to you talk about it on KBN. If we know the rush offense is ineffective, if we know the offensive line isn't blocking the way they should, wouldn't continuing to rely on the run to the degree that the Packers have, if you look at it, their pass rate over expected is bottom 12 in all of the NFL, and Jordan Love's EPA is the best in all of the NFL. Wouldn't that sort of dictate you to then change your approach despite you playing such matchups? Because to me, teams are baiting you into running the ball because they know it's less effective, less efficient, and going to lead to less points for you.
Yeah, I know your heels are dug in to a very deep level of the sand.
Josh? What?
Yes, I know. I don't know if people know this about Josh. Josh, if you could see our text chain that he is in with us, he is like, he is an opinionated cat, man. Like, and he knows better than Matt LaFleur. Just ask him.
It's not what I said.
No, that's what you know. You don't say that, but that's what you think. But I look, I'm not saying that you guys don't have valid points on this. I swear to God, I'm not. What I'm saying is that convincing a coach who has a belief in the can system, and this is all of those guys, right? I mean, from Shanahan and McVay on down, their belief is sooner or later, if, because God, how many times do you hear LaFleur talk about the word execution, right? Like, it reminds me of that old Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach, John McKay. What did you think of your, what do you think of your team's execution?
I'm in favor
of it. And he says, I'd be in favor of it, right? Like, when they don't execute, Matt LaFleur looks like a inept coach, and all coaches are subject to that. But again, when they have Josh Jacobs, who was as productive as he was, and when they have a look that should work with an effective run, I was asking Jordan about this last week. Like, they are, and he, being a guy that, unlike his two predecessors, is far more likely to paint by the numbers than do whatever the heck he wants, he is going to can to the run. Now, do I think you guys have a valid point? And I was trying to, and Josh was evasive on this last week, because I flat out asked him, do you prefer to run out of the shotgun?
Oh.
Is that your preference?
I don't know, Josh. Well, let's let Josh. Do you prefer to run out of the shotgun? What are your preferences? Or do you like it when they're under center?
I like it under center.
Okay, all right.
Josh Jacobs.
Oh,
Josh,
okay.
Funny guys. See, you guys are deflecting because you know I'm on to something. Anyway, and he was evasive, which tells me you guys are right about that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, otherwise, why do you... No, I don't care. As long as I get the ball, would have been my answer, unless, of course, it's true. So my point is that I think there's an argument to be made that Matt LaFleur should not kowtow to his running back's desires, no matter how good his running back is. And that you have to be able to say as a coach, look, man, I know you prefer this. I will certainly make it part of what we do. But to get back to being as productive as we're capable of being, I need you to be comfortable being uncomfortable running the ball this way.
Yep.
Can you do that for me? So that, to me, that's the part of what you guys have argued that I am 100% on board with. The suggestion that they could be a better offense without him, that that's a bridge too far for me.
It all comes down to whether or not Matt LaFleur has that conversation with Josh. And if he doesn't have that conversation with Jacobs, then I think the whole maybe they're a better offense without him becomes a reality. Like, if Josh is willing to change the way that he likes to do things and be like, yeah, okay, instead of 15 carries out of the shotgun, it's only 7. You know, I think it just makes everything better. Yeah. But Jason, before we let you go, I have to ask this. Because it was literally the first thing I noticed when I opened up to watch the Matt LaFleur press conference yesterday. Has he always been a two-watch guy?
What?
He was wearing two watches yesterday. He had one on the left wrist, one on the right wrist.
Oh, I have no idea. Okay. I did not. Boy, you're really? An observant too. I did not see that. I I guess I wasn't. All I've noticed, well, a couple things. First of all, what we established today is if your name is Josh, you are stubborn. two, that the camera guy, and I actually got a note from my buddy Kyle Malzahn, who works for WFRV up here. Apparently, he was the one who was bumping the camera that caused it to appear.
That just started to raise the ceiling.
Yeah. So that was nice. And then three, Matt LaFleur now definitely, when I am asking a question, knows that he has an opportunity to take a long pull of water from his bottled water and have plenty of time to drink it before the answer is completed.
So I'm also surprised
those were
you
my
got,
observations.
Yeah, I'm surprised you got your last question because they said two more questions, Jason, and yours was the third. And I thought LaFleur looked to the side like, I thought we said two more.
Yeah, and Wallers wasn't looking, so he did not get the reaction he was hoping for. And by the way, again, for my critics out there, appreciate you. I love you holding me accountable and being really pleasant about it. But his answer to that question...
It was a good back and forth answer about Malik.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was worth it.
I will add, after Gabe sent me this, I did a little investigative reporting, and that's mostly guessing and looking at the video more in depth as I was cutting it. It looks to be like one of those health tracking bracelets what it looks like on the right wrist.
So I didn't know. It looked... I couldn't quite tell. I don't know if that was an Apple Watch.
Left looks Apple Watch.
The left, yeah. So I'm not sure. But he's just looked very strange to me. I'll send you the screenshot I grabbed, Jason, and you can just get back to me if he's wearing two watches and what the heck's going on.
One might be Lombardi time and one might be the real time. Right?
Does he have an Aura ring on too? Like, the breakdowns are... You guys are so detail-oriented. I have so much respect for you. And by the way, Chewy, I think that was that deserved more airtime right there. That he's got his Lombardi time watch and then his actual time watch. Yeah. That was a pretty good line. And we just totally, and I'm at fault for ignoring it.
That's okay, buddy. I still love you.
You too, buddy.
All right. Look forward to talking to you on Thursday, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy 3 times a week. Brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Maybe we needed the third camera going there as Chewy was breaking down play action differences between running out of the shotgun and being under center, which was a really good demonstration, but it kind of also distracted. Yeah, it distracted us from coming back on time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it makes a difference in the timing. So I'll never forget when my oldest was offensive coordinator at Northern Michigan. I'm like, you have your back a half a yard too deep. It doesn't time up. They moved him up half yard. You know what? It timed up. It's just, and I understand, like I said, why Jacobs wants the ball as quick as possible so he can have his vision. But a lot of times it just doesn't marry up with the combination blocks and move into the second level. I'm not saying it can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like if you're under center doing it or you're in the shotgun, the time has to be the exact same.
Where Josh and I were coming from in when we were talking about Josh Jacobs and would the Packers be better without Josh Jacobs has a little bit to do with Jacobs, but has more to do with Matt LaFleur.
It's almost all to do with Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, because look, you can have your preferences. And I have no problem if you prefer running out of shotgun, giving you a handful of those carries a game. But it's when it's almost exclusively running out of the shotgun and we know the offense is better when everything else is running under center. Your quarterback seems to be more comfortable when you run more things under center. I think you kind of have to fall in line.
But it's with the offensive linemen too, because offensive linemen want everything to be the same. It's like, you know, when you have in they're cows. I've always compared them to cows. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're a cow or a group of cows and here comes the hay truck dropping the hay, but you tell the cows not, you got to wait 2 seconds to go there. They're like, they want to go right over as soon as the stuff drops. So if they know there's a difference between running the game ball and shotgun as opposed to under center, they're not going to, they want routine. They want everything the same. They want the timing the same because they don't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the problem I have with, and I see it on the talk and text line and in the YouTube chat, of being critical of Matt LaFleur automatically makes you believe or acts as if you're being smarter than the head coach or trying to be or know better than. That's not at all what the implication here is. What we're saying is a guy can get stuck in his ways.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy lost his job in Green Bay.
Because he got stuck in his ways.
Because he got stuck in his ways and tried to. Jason saying we have to execute that Matt LaFleur keeps saying, and we're not executing, so that's the problem, reminds me a lot of, well, we need to win our one-on-one matchups. And ultimately,
which was the downfall of Mike.
Ultimately is what led to Mike McCarthy no longer having a job with the Green Bay Packers. I'm not saying Matt LaFleur can evolve or things can improve. But I am saying a sort of reliance on something that isn't working is what leads ultimately to you no longer being employed.
And honestly, again, I am a big fan of McCarthy. I think he is criminally underrated. Like,
agreed.
To me, he is Sean Payton with a worse PR guy.
Yes.
Like, it is unbelievable how similar those two resumes are. And as we saw, things didn't ultimately go great for McCarthy and Dallas, but they had some top offenses.
Yes.
So he was able to kind of... Again, it took a change of scenery for him to kind of get woken up, like, oh, I've got to change a couple of the ways I do things. And I think with Jacobs, they have kind of gotten stuck in the, oh, this is the way we run the football now. When LaFleur's better, like literally everybody but Jacobs is better when they run things. And that's not to say that they didn't run out of shotgun from time to time when they had Aaron Jones. They certainly did.
There's
certainly a play. But this offense and the things that LaFleur calls best.
Yes.
Jordan Love does best.
Yes.
Operates when you're under center more.
But the crazy thing to me is the only one that should be afforded that luxury is the quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he has to be completely comfortable. So if Jordan Love said, I'd rather run it from under, Holmgren wouldn't give, I don't care if you were Sterling, you know? Mike would say, no, we're going to do it my way, you know? And 98% of the time, it was the right way to do it, you know? When it wasn't, it was funny because the coaches would have to hold their tongue.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all get pissed at home because he'd jump your ass, player, and I'd come back, I'm quitting, this is stupid, you know? And he'd be like, and Andy even knew I was right and Mike was wrong, but he's like, and Andy would say, this isn't the time or place.
Yeah.
This isn't the time or place. Let me go tomorrow and talk to him and talk him through it. And then half the time when Mike would say, yeah, you're right. You're right. You know?
Yeah.
But it was always, I just don't know why you're, if that's the case, and I mean, there's a good chance it is. I don't know why he would afford Josh Jacobs to do it.
But again, suddenly when Jacobs left the game, they ran the more things under center.
Yeah. Right. Correct. It immediately changed. And it immediately changed their approach. And I don't know if the defense then reacted differently because it wasn't Josh Jacobs and they thought, well, maybe this is, but in that case, you would assume they went to the more too high shell stuff. The big problem here and the way the Matt LaFleur requires, relies on matchups. So if they have the numbers in the box to run the ball, they're going to run the ball. The problem with that is now teams know that and want them to run the ball because they are
good at it.
Because they are bottom 10 in the NFL at running the ball.
Yeah.
So when you are saying, well, yeah, we're going to get our matchups, we are going to use our matchups, and then we are going to do the things that we do because of that. Well, guess what? That's what the defense wants you to do now. They're seeking out more opportunity for you to run the ball because they view that as plus for them. They view that as an advantage.
But
and those two high safeties, a lot of times, if you go back and watch the All-22, they ain't worried about passing. They are filling to run block instant to defend the
run. Crashing to the line of scrimmage.
But the only thing that sucks, though, if they do go back to under center is you lost your best weapon in play action because tight ends love play action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They love play action.
Which is honestly probably why LaFleur wants because
those other guys
he wants Luke Musgrave in there because Luke Musgrave would be their better, especially in play action where it's not like, hey, we need you to catch this ball and get a lot of yards after catch.
Yeah.
I think they want him more operating in the middle of the field out of play action.
But what's crazy to me is that they don't talk about that. Because normally, when you're in a situation like that, you know, in my prime, there was no discussion. Should we start in a whole game? You know what I mean?
Yep.
But when you have a situation like that, the tight end coach would come in into an offensive team meeting and LaFleur would say, how much you think of playing this and that? What's the breakdown going to be? Not like at the end of the game, well, we need Luke Musgrave. It's just, it seems to me the communication here has always been like weird.
So when he said that yesterday, it almost seemed like to me, hey, we're not trusting Luke right now. We got to play these other two guys, which made sense because Musgrave did not play well in the first half. And as the game went along, the other two in Wiley and Fitzpatrick ended up playing more, a lot more than Luke Musgrave. So I don't know if that's just him publicly trying to like put it
light
the blame.
A fire.
Well, no, put the blame on the coaches and going to Luke and like, hey, we're going to play you more. We're going to play you more. That was our mistake. Instead of saying, yeah, you stunk. Because different players respond differently, right? And I have no idea.
Oh, sure.
I don't know Luke Musgrave at all. Maybe he's a guy who if you go, hey, you stunk, that's why you didn't play, he turtles up and goes away. But if you say, hey, that's on us, you're going to get your opportunities, you build him up that way, maybe that's LaFleur going to the media and say, and keeping that message alive of, oh, that was us as a coaching staff that we somehow let that one get away from us.
Yeah.
Because something's not making sense.
I think it was cover there, but I also think, you know, you have a bad game, you get benched, you're done. What I heard when I listened to that was Matt LaFleur admitting Josh Wiley and John Fitzpatrick probably aren't good enough to do the things they need them to.
No, they're one-dimensional.
Right. So what he's saying there is, yeah, Luke didn't play well and Luke got benched. We're not going to say publicly that's what happened, but we still need Luke to do things.
And because maybe, he's this big athletic guy.
Right, right. To me, that was like, hey, I know Fitzpatrick and Wiley caught the touchdown. They were out there sort of doing what we asked and weren't big problems, but this offense is going to need him. Mm-hmm. At some point, there's going to be a point where we need Luke Musgrave, and telling him he's benched and he's not good enough is probably not going to work.
Well, and you can't just bring him in for running plays. I mean, that tell is too big. Oh, okay, bring in Wiley, they're throwing the ball. Oh, bring in Musgrave, they're running the ball. But you can do things with him without targeting him in the ball. It's like, I don't know how much, because a lot of my game, when I knew I wasn't getting the ball, my job was to influence someone.
Yeah.
Right? So if I knew the ball was going to free and my job is to influence that near safety, I mean, you want to get there. And Musgrave is the fastest tight end they have.
Correct.
Like, use them in that fashion, you know? Or rubbing. I don't know how quick. I think part of the problem is he just doesn't process things fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I always talk about rub plays against man.
And how that's
if you have if you can't chew gum and run at the same time, mm-hmm. I don't know how you can play in this league. You just can't. And I think that's a little bit of his problem. Why he struggles blocking because his head gets in the way. He overthinks stuff.
Yeah, overthink instead of keeping it simple.
It's not natural to him, you know? Because I'm telling you what, does the game look fast to you guys? Or no? When you're on the field, it's like, holy
I was about to say,
on
TV, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm guessing if, I mean, but so I will say last year, I went to the game for the first time as a fan in forever, and my buddies over at X Golf have great seats, like first row, 20-yard line. So you're as close to the field as you possibly can be as a fan.
Yeah.
Guys are scooting.
I remember sitting on the sideline going,
guys are moving.
Am I insane to play this game? Insane. It's like crazy, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, and I told you when I first got here, the transition from college to pro is so much different than high school. I had to learn to play a flea size away from out of control. Because you have to, because it's that fast. But once you know how to do it, then it's easy. I don't think he's gotten there yet.
Well, and
over his feet.
Well, yeah.
Well, but additionally, I'm guessing, Chewy, the best way to do that is to be available and to be able to play in games. And that's how you learn how to do that. Unfortunately, through some strange injuries for him, he hasn't been available. So even though this is year three, I mean, he's played probably about a season, maybe just a little bit more worth of games because of the unfortunate injuries that he's had to deal with.
Yeah. But if it is a processing gape, he can't play. I mean, some guys just you can't learn? Process.
Because how was your processing when you first started?
Oh, no. But versus by the third year, third year I could process. And then fourth year I figured it out. I'm like, okay. If you're smart in this game.
Well, and I think that's worth you saying by year three.
Yeah.
Because you also had injury issues early in your career that kept you off the field.
Yeah.
So even though you weren't able to play, you were able to figure out the processing part.
Yes, correct.
I feel that is worth pointing out. It's not like you were playing a bunch of games early.
No,
you dealt with some injuries, so it's kind of a similar situation to what Musgrave's been dealing with. Hey, guys, if you're feeling like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. Symptoms of low testosterone include low energy and motivation, fatigue. You're tired all the time. You have some weight gain, muscle loss, especially some belly fat. You feel anxious, moody, or irritable. Those are all signs of low testosterone. And if that even one of those sounds like you, Mentality is here to help. They want to help you with your low testosterone. Go to mentalityhealth.com/radio and book that first appointment today. You get a full physical consultation blood panel done within your first meeting. And then after your blood panel comes back, if your testosterone levels are low, what Mentality does is they focus on your free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can't overlook. So once they get those numbers dialed in for you and you get a testosterone plan that's customized for you, your energy comes roaring back, your belly fat burns off, you feel like yourself again, you're confident, driven, ready to tackle life. And that's really, for me, taking it, like feeling like yourself again and not having that little bit of haze and fatigue, that's been to me the best part of working with Mentality. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be at your best for you and your family. Head to mentalityhealth.com/radio, mentalityhealth.com/radio. Book your first appointment today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or not?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The Carbless Talking text line is 800-990-3776. Mike in Racine says, can you ask Chewy, what's in the water? I want to drink what he drinks.
Mio.
Red wine.
he's just getting hammered on the air.
Yeah, that'd be more of a Pinot.
But you mix up the different Mios you have.
This is a bad one. I mean, it looks good. It's terrible.
What is it, cherry? It
doesn't have any flavor.
Wait, was that literally a text for what's in the water, or was it like something talking about he's a little loopy? What is he talking about?
No. Can Chewy please tell me what's in the water? I want to drink what he drinks.
Hydration.
Chewy's an influencer right now for Mio, apparently. That's what's in the water. And I'll tell you what. I've started drinking Mio on a regular basis at home.
Have you really?
Yeah. I like the blue has a little more of the hydration type of stuff in there.
That's a little too much flavor.
Okay.
I'm not a big flavor guy.
flavoring your water.
I know, but
I drink
there's
my
ones
water
that
like
are
water.
Just, they're too much flavor. The best is the grape. The grape is the best, and then the yellow lemonade and the pink. Some of them are just too sweet.
Could you just put less in?
I could.
Definitely could.
But half is not enough, Josh, so what do you do the next day? It needs about three-quarter of the one Gabe's talking about.
Yeah.
But a quarter is just like, it'd be terrible. I should have been a chemist.
So I drink my water like a grinder. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Water is disgusting.
I don't think it's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's flavorless.
Can you drink water if you're not thirsty? No way. No. It's awful.
I drink water all the time.
I drink water.
There's good water, I guess, and bad water.
And I drink it right out of the tap,
too.
I'll agree with that. There's good water and
this.
Bad water.
Water is the biggest scam known to man. It's the biggest scam known
to man.
How
is it a scam?
Bottled water, really?
Oh, do people take advantage of that and overcharge? Yeah, without a doubt. I thought you were saying like drinking water. I thought you were being a huge hypocrite drinking the amount of water that you do every morning and saying that, that's a scam.
What's your absolute favorite thing to drink? If it all had the same nutritional value, favorite thing to drink. You know what mine is? Grape soda.
I do love a grape soda.
Grape soda.
I was about to say, it'd probably be some sort of soda, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best. Oh,
so McDonald's Coca-Cola.
Oh, McDonald's Coke is. Oh.
Why they got rid of the orange drink still bothers me to this day.
It's back.
Is it the same, though?
It's the exact same.
Okay,
I don't get it.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. That high C orange was a huge part of my hangover cure.
Huge.
Back in Platteville.
Nothing better than orange drink at McDonald's and a fish fillet. Oh.
You lost me with the fillet.
Yeah, no, I live off of that. And it's not even the fish. They nail the tartar sauce. Absolutely nail it. They nail it, Gabe.
You're so giddy about that tartar sauce right now. I don't know if I've ever seen you happier.
Oh, so good.
Do we need to have a tartar sauce taste challenge?
Okay.
Getting McDonald's specific tartar sauce could be tough.
Yeah, we'd have to scrape it off.
Scrape it. Be kind of obvious when there were chunks of the breading in the filet of fish. It is what it is. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we're back in 2 minutes.